Godhead is displaying how affectionate he is to his devotees. He's showing how he reciprocates with his devotees. We read earlier how Lord Chaitanya took part in the Rathayatra festival. First of all, he was dancing in a very wild type of ecstasy. That was the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani feeling separation from Lord Krishna and hankering and hoping to again get the association of Lord Krishna. So in that mood, Lord Chaitanya was dancing and dancing, spinning like a firebrand, sometimes collapsing on the ground, his body changing color, tears pouring from his eyes, coming from his eyes just like water from a syringe, and waiting everyone around him. So very dramatic mood of separation being displayed in the mood of Srimati Radharani by Lord Chaitanya himself. Then Lord Chaitanya dancing in front of Jagannath, just as you all were dancing in front of Jagannath earlier today as he pulled the chariot. So Lord Chaitanya dancing in front of Lord Jagannath and watching Lord Jagannath, and Lord Jagannath was watching him with big, unblinking eyes. So then Lord Chaitanya, he entered into another mood, a different mood, not that wild mood of ecstasy and separation, but a much more peaceful mood of the ecstasy of meeting Krishna, entering into the association of Krishna, and face to face relating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that great comfort and satisfaction of no longer being in anxiety. Where is Krishna? How will I find Krishna? How will I find shelter? So Lord Chaitanya then, his mood changed into that more peaceful mood of being in the company of Krishna and feeling secure and happy spiritually in the association of the Lord. So then, Lord Chaitanya, in that more peaceful mood, he spoke some very beautiful verses. They are the verses spoken by Radharani when she met Krishna at Kurukshetra, having been separated from Krishna for a long, long time, maybe 70 or 80 years, something like that. So, Lord Chaitanya spoke in the mood of Srimati Radharani, again in the company of Krishna. Let us read a few of those verses again. So when Lord Chaitanya abandoned that wild dancing in the mood of Radharani's separation, he asked Swarup Damodar to sing some very beautiful verses. This is the first verse in which he is expressing that now I am back with Krishna. Now I have the association of Krishna again after so many years of separation. So, the first verse is, now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. So, Lord Chaitanya, he is expressing that mood of satisfaction, being in the presence of Krishna again at Kurukshetra. But still something was lacking. So Lord Chaitanya himself then began to recite some important verses expressing that lack. Even though we have met again, that is very wonderful, after so many years of separation, I'm with my Krishna again, but still something is missing. And this really is the essence of this Rathayatra festival, which we're celebrating this weekend. So, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. So that verse is, that very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the river, under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. So this is the further desire of Lord Chaitanya. This is the further desire of Srimati Radharani, having met Lord Krishna after so many years of separation, their meeting in Kurukshetra. So then, Lord Chaitanya, in that mood of Radharani, continued speaking to Lord Jagannath. You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. Kurukshetra is crowded with people, their elephants and horses, and the rattling of chariots. In Vrindavan, however, there are flower gardens, and the humming of the bees and chirping of the birds can be heard. Here, at Kurukshetra, you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors. But in Vrindavan, you appear just like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Here in Kurukshetra, there is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. I therefore request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. So these are the beautiful verses spoken by Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Srimati Radharani, having been united with Krishna, reunited with Krishna during that solar eclipse at Kurukshetra, many years after they left each other's company in Vrindavan. This is the essence of this Rath Yatra festival. This Rath Yatra festival we can understand in a number of different ways. They're all very relevant and very important. For example, we mentioned during the procession that this Rath Yatra, one meaning of it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his deity form, Jagannath, Baladev, and their sister, Subhadra, that normally they're in the temple. This is the normal situation, the formal arrangement for the worship of the deity on the altar in the temple, and then the people come. The people come to the temple, the people come to see the Lord. So one aspect, one way of understanding this Rath Yatra festival is that the Lord himself is getting overwhelmed by a very merciful mood, that he wants to take it upon himself to come out in public. And even though so many of the people in the public are not really inclined towards him, after all, this is the material world, and we have all come here to forget Krishna. That is why we are here. But still, the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes the trouble to pursue us here, and even to come out here and literally chase us through the streets of Phoenix, or along through the beachfront, down in Durban. All over the world, this Rath Yatra festival has been established by Prabhupada, and the Jagannath deities are moving through the streets in all sorts of different cities, chasing the conditioned souls, telling them effectively, come on, here we are, here I am. You have a relationship with me, but you forgot it. But here I am. I'm coming to give it back to you, to reawaken that within you. So in other words, one way of seeing this Rath Yatra festival is like that, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gets into that preaching mood, that merciful mood. Let me try to personally intervene. Personally intervene in the lives of these conditioned souls who are running around trying to find some satisfaction and happy situation independent from me. But let me chase them and give them my mercy, give them the opportunity to once again connect up with me. So this is a very important aspect and understanding of this Rath Yatra festival. But on the very internal level, then this pastime which we're reading here from Chaitanya Charitamrita, this particular pastime gives the underlying understanding of what is really behind this glorious Rath Yatra festival. That Krishna and Radharani were separated, and Krishna was separated from all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. But then they met again in Kurukshetra, and Srimati Radharani felt so happy that now again I have gained the Lord of my life, without whom I was simply burning in an ocean or a great fire of separation. But, Krishna, even though we have met again, and you are the same Krishna, I am the same Radharani, but still it is not the same. Still, we must go to Vrindavan, that most sacred place, that most beautiful place, which is completely saturated with, and more or less you could say is composed of, the transcendental mood of Madhurya Rasa, or the loving conjugal relationship which is there between Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So in Kurukshetra, the mood was very grand. Krishna was the prince from Dwaraka, surrounded by his royal entourage. But Radharani wanted to have Krishna, to be with Krishna in that pure, loving situation of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Therefore, she told Krishna, "You must come back. Please come back. Please come back." And Krishna, he said, "Certainly, I'll be back just now. Don't worry. I'll be back very shortly." But Radharani and the gopis, they told Krishna, "You know, you told us that before many years ago when you left. Many years ago you told us there in Vrindavan, maybe 70 years ago, something like that. You said, I'll be back maybe in a few days, something like that. I'll be back, don't worry. You just carry on. Don't worry, I'll be back very shortly." But that was 70 years before. So Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they told Krishna that that is all very well, but we don't accept it this time. Now we are taking you back now. So then they put Krishna and Balaram, somehow he got there, and Subhadra, their sister. The gopis, they put Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra on the chariot, tied the ropes onto the chariot, and pulled Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra all the way back to Vrindavan. That's a long way. Today we were pulling for a couple of hours or so, and we moved 4 or 5 kilometers or something of that sort. But they pulled Krishna all the way from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. That is perhaps 400 kilometers. That's a long way, just pulling on the ropes. So how's that for a Ratha Yatra festival? Maybe next time we'll, I don't know, where would we go? Past Peter Maritzburg, outdo the comrades, all the way into northern Natal. That would be a Ratha Yatra, wouldn't it? So that is the original Ratha Yatra, actually. The original festival, chariot festival, of taking Krishna back to Vrindavan, reuniting Krishna with his greatest devotees, most intimate devotees, in that most intimate and sublime place, Sri Vrindavan Dham. So that is the essence of this festival. And somehow or other, we are getting the opportunity to take part in it. It's quite amazing, actually, to actually reenact that amazing transcendental pastime. So, sometimes people wonder that what does Krishna think? How does Krishna feel about this? Radharani and the gopis, they feel so strongly, we must bring Krishna back to Vrindavan at any cost, by any means, even if we have to pull him for 400 kilometers. We'll get him. We'll take him back. But what does Krishna think? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone by constitution is his servant. Everyone is to bow down before him. He is there to accept those obeisances. He is the supreme, absolute, worshipable Godhead. So what does he think? Does he think that all very well, if you insist, then if I must go, something like that? No. Krishna's feelings are revealed also here in these passages describing Lord Chaitanya and his interactions with Lord Jagannath during the Rath Yatra festival. So, let us just read a few verses in which Lord Krishna's feelings in the Rath Yatra festival, or in that reunion at Kurukshetra and the return to Vrindavan, how the Lord's feelings are also expressed. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very perturbed. After hearing of their love for him, he immediately thought himself to be always indebted to the devotees of Vrindavan. Then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I'm speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, cowherd boys, and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. Among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. My dear Srimati Radharani, I am always subservient to the loving affairs of all of you. I am under your control only. My separation from you and residence in distant places have occurred due to my strong misfortune. You are my most dear, and I know that in my absence you cannot live for a moment. Just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayan. By his merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day to enjoy pastimes with you. I then return to Dwarka. Thus, you can always feel my presence here in Vrindavan. So here Lord Krishna is expressing his own feelings. That my separation from you and residence in distant places have occurred due to my strong misfortune. We might think this is a little extraordinary. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, the greatest, ultimate person, the source of the whole universe. But he is saying that I am separated from you, my great devotees, and I am feeling that to be my misfortune. So, this is a little glimpse into the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a little glimpse into the depth of the loving relationships that develop between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. For example, we all know very well, and we all see very often, if we read Bhagavad Gita at least, then we see on the front cover, there is Lord Krishna and Arjuna. They are on the chariot. But Lord Krishna, he is driving the chariot. He is not the passenger being chauffeur-driven on the chariot, the big person being chauffeur-driven. No, he has taken the position of the driver. He has taken the position of the chauffeur, so to speak. He has become the chariot driver of Arjuna. So why would he do that? He is the supreme person, we all know, as we have described. The absolute truth. He is asamurdva. Asamurdva means no one is equal to him and no one is greater than him. Asamurdva. That is Krishna. But there he is on the front cover of Bhagavad Gita, driving the chariot of Arjuna. That is not a very honorable position. That is not some special position for some big special person to take. That is a common man's position. That is a common man's position. You may know that in the story of Lord Krishna, in the Mahabharata, there is the description of Karna. Karna, he is actually the son of Kunti Devi, who is the mother of the Pandavas. So therefore he was also one of those brothers, actually. Of course he did not become aware of that till much later, but it is a fact that he was one of those brothers. However, he was abandoned by his mother, and then he was adopted. So who was he adopted by? He was adopted by a chariot driver. He was adopted by a chariot driver. And later, when Karna himself grew up and he became a great warrior, very powerful person, and he wanted to be recognized and accepted as a bona fide kshatriya, a bona fide warrior and member of the royal order. But then the Pandavas refused to accept him. The Pandavas refused to accept him. Why? Because he was the son of a chariot driver. That means sudra. Laborer, common person, not a member of the higher classes, just a low-class laborer. So that is what it means, actually, to become the chariot driver. Then you are putting yourself in the position of the very common man, the laborer, the sudra. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of love for his pure devotee, Arjuna, he accepted the same position as chariot driver, as the sudra, laborer, just driving the chariot, a common working man's position, out of love. So we should try to appreciate this. Try to understand this a little bit, that even though Krishna is so great, he is unlimited, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if we engage in the process of devotional service, if we actually reawaken our dormant love for him, then that love and the service that the devotee performs in the mood of that love is so powerful, so extraordinary, that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, He becomes conquered by that love. He submits to that love. He will accept any position in response to that love of his devotee. Even some low position like that, he will accept that position. He doesn't mind. Or another example, when Krishna was a little boy in Vrindavan, then the older ladies, the mother, Krishna is just taking the position of a little child, 2 or 3 years old, just a little boy. A little boy crawling, jumping, running, like this. In that mood of love, he is taking that role. So, when the mothers, when the aunties would tell Krishna that, Krishna, you jump, he would jump. Just like a little child jumps in a funny way, and it's not to be taken seriously at all. In fact, from the adult's point of view, if we were to do that as adults, then we would just be being silly. People would laugh at us for fooling around like that. But Krishna, they told him, you jump, he jumped. And they told him, you do a dance. So just like a little child, he would bounce around and do some little dance in some funny little way. Which if we as adults, we did some dance like that, people would think we're just being stupid. Yes. So it is not exactly that he is actually that little boy. He's accepting that role out of love for his devotees. So out of love for his devotees, he is even doing some funny little silly thing, jumping, dancing, making a face. Sometimes they would tell him, show us how strong you are. And Krishna would go like this. Just some silly little thing, playing around. Just see how strong I am. Sometimes when Nanda Maharaj, his father, would come home, then Krishna would fetch his shoes, his father's shoes on his head, and bring them on his head, and deliver them. Sometimes he would go and bring his father's big cushion, big heavy cotton cushion, and little boy Krishna, maybe 2 years old, is pulling this cushion, he can hardly move it, to serve his father. And someone tells him, don't worry, you're a little boy, let me take it, some adult. But Krishna would tell them, no, I want to do it. He wants to serve his father. So this is Krishna. This is Krishna. And this is the wonderful nature of Krishna consciousness. Where do we find out about the personality of Godhead? Who he is as a person? We may hear in some other tradition that he is the great controller. He is the supreme being. He is the source of everything. That is all true. He is that. He is all those things, but he is a person. And the goal of life is to reawaken our forgotten, eternal relationship with him. That relationship of pure love which exists within the heart of every living entity. That is the goal of life. To enter into that relationship, personal relationship with him, face to face. And in that relationship, he is not just standing there like some big deity, being worshipped and we're doing everything. He is just standing there accepting our worship. No, no, no. He's very personal. And he reciprocates with the attempts of his devotees to serve him and please him in love. He becomes indebted to his devotees. He feels this devotee has given up so much. This devotee is trying so hard to please me, doing everything he or she can to please me. I have to reciprocate. And he does reciprocate in the most beautiful and wonderful ways. So that is the nature of Krishna consciousness. That is the unique quality of Krishna consciousness, that you can actually develop that personal relationship with God and realize the personal character, the personality of Godhead. Yes, and this is what this Rath Yatra festival is all about, ultimately. That just as the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they took Krishna back to Vrindavan, and then they had so many wonderful pastimes with him. So we are also getting the opportunity in this festival to take part in the pastimes of the Lord, and in this way get a little hint and a little step, a little entrance into those pastimes, into that loving relationship, which will ultimately come completely when we actually become advanced in devotional service. So through this Rath Yatra, we're getting a little glimpse and a little taste of what that wonderful relationship is with Krishna. How wonderful it is to take part in the Lord's pastimes and to be able to relate with him face to face. So this is the mercy which is available through the Rath Yatra. This is the mercy which is available by the arrangement of Srila Prabhupada, because it was him who brought the Rath Yatra festival from India and planted it here in the Western world and encouraged the devotees to develop it more and more. So we still have one day, and even a little bit of today is still left. Let us make the most of it. Try and get into this mood of the festival, into the mood of serving the Lord, into the mood of glorifying the Lord, and in this way making our connection with him stronger and stronger, and then carry it forward into our lives from day to day. Always chanting Krishna's glories, endeavoring to serve him with determination, bowing down before him, try to transform our whole lives in these ways into just a lifestyle of devotional service, nothing else. This will bring us to the perfection of life. Hare Krishna. Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ke Jai. Sri Jagannath Rath Yatra Mahotsav Ke Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jagannath Jaya Baladev Jaya Subhadra Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Jai Shivata, Mahanus, Abhini Raja, Jairus, Tennyson, Shishmanus, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON's founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Gurundarad Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Sri Sri Radha Radhanath ki, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Sri Jagannath Rath Yatra Mahotsava ki, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to their Samal devotees. All glories to their Samal devotees. All glories to their Samal devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yesterday I spoke to a Christian and he told me that Satan only attacks the Christians because Christianity is the only way and the truth and not any of the other religious groups. Wow. That sounds interesting. You know, the Christians, don't tell them I said this, but I think they got a little mixed up in a few places. You know, I think they missed the boat a bit. Yeah. You know, he may be a rotten person, full of anger and lust and envy and pride. You know, some sort of person like that. Just a rotten material person. And you may be living a pure life, selfless service, and tolerant and effulgent with wonderful personal qualities and dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. But, no, just because you didn't bathe in the blood, get wet by the sweat. There's a whole poem about it. I don't want to go into it, actually. But all sorts of things that can happen with different types of bodily excrements. Yes. Why just be bathed by the blood after all? There are other things that come out. So, poor old Christ, you know, he's bleeding there. And they're not prepared to do anything. We will remain lusty and arrogant, and who gives it? Who cares less? You know? We don't care. We'll let Christ take it all. Thank you, Christ. He's a good guy. But, yeah. And then they say, you can't be free from sin. Meaning, you know, like lust, just in those simple terms, can't be free from sin. Then we say, but we know people who are free from sin. And they say, no, not possible. But it's happening. It's happening. So you judge something by its results. Prabhupada, it's a Vedic aphorism. Phalena parachyate. You judge things by their fruit. Not just because I say it, he says it, but you judge it by the result. That's what you judge it by. So if you see there's someone following a pure life, they're actually free from sin, their lives are dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, oh, that's wonderful. That's divine. If you see someone, they're saying that, they're like that, but actually you see that there's something else, well then there's something else. You call a spade a spade. Right. Here's a practical question, don't laugh. I am here for Krishna and only him.
but feel attracted sometimes to a devotee. How can I rid myself of these feelings? I don't like these feelings. Well, now we told you not to laugh, Ashok. Anyway, we sympathize, you know. We have these material bodies and material minds. And we've been living in this material world a long time, and so many habits are there. And just because you become a devotee doesn't mean that, you know, automatically you're just right to the top and everything, all that other stuff just goes like that. Old habits die hard, after all. So, you know, we do preach and certainly recommend and encourage that devotees try, not just try, but they actually maintain high standards. But at the same time, we have to be practical and recognize that the lower tendencies are there. So what is our process for dealing with the lower propensities? Like here, specifically, this is the sexual attraction, obviously. The attraction between male and female. Now, Ashok, don't laugh again. But Prabhupada, one time, one devotee came to Prabhupada. And again, I'm sure there's a story you all know well. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, this Krishna consciousness is so nice, so wonderful. I don't feel any attraction to the opposite sex at all. Prabhupada said, oh, there's something wrong with you? And you're not meant to laugh. So, of course, you know, we don't want to make it just, you know, a whimsical thing, frivolous thing. But our approach is that, of course, we have to at least be able to recognize that this is material. This is not really spiritual. And if I don't watch out a bit, then, you know, I can, my Krishna consciousness and my position generally may become disturbed, and even badly disturbed, if I just get onto the bodily platform. But our approach when it comes to dealing with these bodily feelings and psychological feelings, these attractions, our approach generally is to try to dovetail those things. Dovetail. Therefore, we have the Grihastha Ashram. If a young man and a young lady are attracted to each other, and if, you know, it can be analyzed hopefully in a reasonably responsible way, and if it becomes apparent that there's some at least reasonable degree of compatibility there, then they can become married in Krishna consciousness, and in that way can have their relationship with each other and raise a family together, but in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, in Krishna consciousness. Not just a young man and young woman in just the very ordinary way. Not like that. Yes, so in this way, Krishna consciousness is very liberal. You know, in the Mayavad line, the impersonal line, there, initiation, if you want to be initiated, of course, so many devotees, we have hundreds of initiated devotees here in Durban, and hundreds more who want to be or in the process going through the procedure for being initiated. So that's something accessible to everyone within reason. But in the impersonal line, the Mayavad line, you know what first initiation is? First initiation, and only, actually, they only have one. First initiation means you take sannyas. That's it. No one else is initiated. So they only have a handful of initiated people You know, they may be a very big line in terms of just the general following, millions of people. But the initiated people, there's maybe 20 or 30 or 50, I don't know, but some small, small number who are actually initiated. And they're only born Brahmins. Only born Brahmins. No one else can be initiated in the Mayavad line of Shankaracharya. Yes, so in our line of Krishna consciousness, we are much more liberal. Yes, we're making these wonderful things more available. And what does that mean? Does it mean we just have a lower standard? You know, we all just initiate anyone. We don't care so much. Whereas they're very particular. Only the very best, rare few. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. But the point is that the process of Krishna consciousness is so potent that an ordinary person, anyone within reason, who follows the process of Krishna consciousness nicely, then the mercy of Krishna and his transcendental shakti and his transcendental shelter, they're so strong that you can become elevated step by step. You know, they regard householders as papis, if you know what I mean. Sinful people. They're automatically sinful. There's no question of anything else. They're simply sinful. Because they are, for example, householders engaging in sex life, perhaps, maintaining the family, working in the material world in some material occupation. To them, this is all sin. It is just the material world only. But in Krishna consciousness, you may be a Krishna conscious householder, and with your children and so on and so forth, all the trappings and everything of household life, and working even in just an ordinary job. For the government, maybe, or something like that. But, because you are connected with Krishna through devotional service, and because you are using, for example, your income to maintain your family, who are devotees, so that means your money is being used to serve the devotees and maintain and feed the devotees, and so on. Because you're engaging like this in devotional service, so all these activities of yours, even your work, that becomes purified. It's not just sin. It's not just some material affair. But actually through engaging in these duties, you are becoming elevated spiritually. You know, there's another nice conversation between Prabhupada and Jayananda. Jayananda Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's early disciples who passed away just before Prabhupada passed away. But he was famous even at that time as an exemplary devotee. I never met him, but I'd heard of him before he passed away. So, there's a nice conversation. He is driving Srila Prabhupada. And he was the temple president. But in order to help the temple to make money to pay the rent and the various bills and so on, he worked as a taxi driver. He worked as a taxi driver, cab driver. So he was complaining to Prabhupada that, you know, I'm meant to be a devotee, I want to be a devotee, I should be a devotee. But here I am, I'm driving this stupid car around, filled up with these materialistic people, just taking them from one place of material activity to another place of material activity, and collecting some money. So I'm fallen. My position is fallen. I'm not really a devotee. This is very bad. Prabhupada told him that actually Your taxi driving is pure devotional service. Because you are using everything for the benefit of the temple, for the benefit of Krishna, in his service only. That's all. So it's pure devotional service. It's very good. It's first class. So, Krishna consciousness is like that. It is not that we just have a lower standard. The Mayavadis, they have high standard. You must be very detached and renounced and so on.